come forever and ever and ever.
Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulged discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Drop Park. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintP.com. RadioSaintP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5.
4, 3, 2, 1. It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintP.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Instagram, Twitter, home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE on Instagram and Twitter. So I teased last week that there was some issues that a coworker of mine at the Bone had, I was worried that perhaps they were about to get canceled. And sure enough, that person is gone now, fired. No longer at the station, and it's my friend Anna, who I did Stay Woke with. Which means Stay Woke is dead. Because there's no way it'd be just me. And I don't know if anybody wants to listen to that. And it's just, you know, it's hard to do a radio show with one person at late at night. Whatever reason, they decided not to continue with Stay Woke. I definitely would have done it, but yeah, so that's gone. She's off the Johnny B show now, and she's a free agent. And, you know, it sucks. The whole situation's terrible. But this is the culture we live in now. And somebody complained, and corporations now will just go, yep, not worth it. Juice isn't worth the squeeze. See ya. And they'll throw you away, which is shocking because she's very talented. She works for very cheap. I know because I make the same amount of money. And I think we put out quality content over the past few years, and she continued to do so on a Johnny B show, and I got big shoes to fill in her place there now. I guess I'm co-host of that show now. It sucks, but, you know, this is the reality. So, anyway, she's going to be coming in and telling us what happened. I know a lot of people have been, hey, where the hell is Anna? Rightfully so. And we didn't know what to say for a long time, Johnny and I, because we kind of thought that she would be back. I kind of thought they would just suspend her and give her final warning, and because she had S-storm epilepsy last year. If you've been listening, you know that she had a run-in on her social media with that, and I figured this would just be like, listen, if you screw up again, you're out. But instead, they just let her go this time. So she's going to come in and talk about it. People were asking about it all week, last week, and then still this week. So, and we didn't know what to say. And so I figured I'd have her come in here and tell us what happened and tell her side and figure out what we're going to do in the future. I'd like to still work with her, and maybe we'll turn this podcast into a Stay Woke-esque show where me and her can still work together in some capacity, but that's got a lot of variables too. We're going to talk to her in just a second, but first I want to say thank you to our sponsor, NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. Now, you've been in quarantine for months now, and I can tell. People can tell. You're looking a little doughy. You got to play catch-up now. You got to exercise, and you got to get your meals delivered right to your door that are healthy and good for you from NTT Fitness. If you use my code LEVELUP15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Get back in gear. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15. 15% off your first order. All right, let's talk to Anna. Anna, hello.
Hello, William Kuntz.
Happy to have you here.
Thank you. Anna Hummel here. Let's start with this. I do want to start with this. It is what it is, 2020. It's something I've been saying this whole year, and it continues to get more and more bizarre as we go on. For those of you who have been wondering why I've been absent on the radio, it's because I have been fired. It is unfortunate. It was not my decision to leave. I am going to get into all of the details as to what happened. For those of you that were listening to the show that I used to be on, I was listening through the week that I was in limbo. I was listening, and I know a lot of calls were dumped. A lot of people were wondering where I was, and the answer to that is we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We were in limbo, so the situation, and I'm going to get into everything, so everybody just hang tight. I'm going to get into the reason why I was fired, so this is a tell-all I have. I literally have nothing to hide. I do feel like I owe everybody an explanation because I feel like people deserve to know what happened. And I've got a lot of messages, a lot meaning probably in the range of at least 15. Yeah. So that's a lot.
Yeah, I got them too. And I didn't really, I didn't know what to tell people. I didn't know. I had no idea what was happening. I was keeping my fingers crossed, hoping for the best. It just wasn't my or Johnny's or anybody's business really, but yours.
Right.
And that's why I wanted you to come on here and kind of tell what happened, because I know people are very curious about
it. And I definitely wanted to do some sort of recording so I could speak to the people instead of telling the same story, you know, 100 times over. I could just make one statement and then everybody knows everything. There's nothing to hide. Okay, so was fired. Yes. Before I get into the reasons why I was fired, I just want to say first and foremost that the company that I used to work for, the station I used to work for, 100% made the right decision. Okay, I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to blame anybody but myself. It was 100% my fault and nobody else's. So I do want to say that I'm a very critical person of other people, very judgmental of other people. Usually they deserve it, but you know, I am more judgmental and critical of myself than anybody. And I feel like that is my one redeeming quality, is that when shit like this goes down, I really look in the mirror and I go, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you? And for those of you that don't know, this was not my first transgression. So I was expecting to be terminated. So this was 100% the right decision. If I was in the company's position and I had a situation with an employee like me and I was a multiple offender, I would have done the exact same thing. So I just want to say that there's absolutely no animosity towards the company. So, you know, if you're angry, you shouldn't be. If you should be angry at all, you should be angry at me because it was my fault. It was my fuck up. I messed up. It's really nice to be able to swear, by the way.
I usually don't, but it's okay.
Sorry. You can bleep it out later. Thanks for lunch, by the way.
You're welcome.
So the reason why I got fired is because I made a series of tweets. Throwaway tweets. Not great. Let me actually hold on. The one I really got fired for was a throwaway. The one before I thought was great, to be honest with you. I thought it was good. As you all know about everything that's going on regarding the pandemic, regarding the riots, people are very, very sensitive. Now, I know this, but sometimes, you know, you get excited when you think you're gonna make a funny on social media. You're a lot better about controlling yourself than I am, that's for sure. But yeah, and I know Chad from Riverview is wondering, what are the tweets? What did you say? I'm gonna tell you. Okay, relax. Let me just set it up for a second here. So the first tweet, let's get into this. So we all know people are very, very uptight about everything that's going on. Nobody's in the mood for laughs right now. And I feel like if I would have said any of these things on air, it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. It would have been fine. It would have been just a fleeting thought, a moment. And unless someone was recording, you know, there's context, there's tone. There's so many things that you get from somebody's voice that you don't get from a snapshot. Okay. This is not a defense of what I did. I'm just explaining. I'm still on board with 100% my fault. Okay. First tweet that I got in trouble for. I'm going to pull it up here. Okay. Not great. I thought, to be honest with you, I thought it was funny. Okay. So let's start here. Will, about a week and a half ago, I was over at your house, and you were telling me that you saw a tweet about someone demanding that a fake galaxy known as Star Wars.
Yes.
Someone had reached out to Star Wars demanding that they take a stance on what is going on politically, socially in this country regarding Black Lives Matter, the George Floyd incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, well, I don't believe you. I think that's insane. You then pulled up the tweet and you showed it to me, and it was like, Star Wars, what say you?
Yeah.
Why are you being silent about this?
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. And then you had a few other examples if you want to. We were joking about, I mean, I don't know if you want to tell the story.
I don't even recall, but I know we were talking about, I think I was drinking that day.
Yes.
So I may not be, but yeah, just the fact that my thing was, is that I think these rubes get fooled into thinking that these corporations care about them, and mm-hmm. they don't care about you.
No.
They've done their market research and they've concluded that it is a smart business move for them to make some sort of statement. So
correct.
They do. Or they get harassed into it by a Twitter mob, and then they go, uh-oh, and the poor girl that's running the account is probably like, oh my God, I'm getting a lot of tweets. What do I do?
Right,
like, just release
right.
a statement. And they go, okay, good.
It was as if like the focus group let it out like, this is a good thing, because you don't want to piss off, because obviously it seems like we're a very divided country right now. We are politically, I will say that.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh, yes.
You know, if you say something in favor of one thing, you automatically by default piss off everybody else.
Right. Because it's the binary thinking.
Correct. Because most people are sheep and morons, but you know, we can get to that another time. So, I you made a few jokes, and I mean, I can say them on your behalf, but this was Will. You're like, Windex, where are you?
Oh,
what say
right.
you? Yeah, yeah. And we're like laughing, and I'm like, oh my God, we should take to Twitter. And even you and your drunkenness was like, this is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I go, okay, maybe you're right. And I'm so thankful that you were there to say that is a bad idea, because guess what, folks? Bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, with tweets, if it's something on air we're talking about now, I think people would understand, because you do have that tone.
Right.
You have some context behind
yes.
it. On Twitter, when you're tweeting, somebody might see something, go, what the heck does that mean? And then they scroll by it, and then it sits, and they can think about mm-hmm. it a little more. And then they can go back, and it's there.
Correct.
Again. So it doesn't go away into the ether.
Mm-mm.
You might hear a replay or something on the radio or a podcast. You could go back to it, but you probably wouldn't. Like you would on Twitter, where you're just sitting there aimlessly scrolling.
Right. And that's how people are getting canceled, because they're pulling up shit from, you know, 2014, 2010, 2009. It was a different place back then.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
it was a different place 5 years ago.
It's a different place 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So after seeing the Star Wars thing, I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, Star Wars, a fake universe, is made and pressured to release a statement about the situation in the riots. I was just like, it's Star Wars. But then it started to get even more bizarre. You know, I started getting messages from Uber and clothing brands that I liked on Instagram or whatever, to the point where I saw this was last Wednesday, whenever that was, Ben and Jerry's. And I thought this was the best/worst one because it's hilarious. Ben and Jerry's wrote on June 2nd, "The murder of George Floyd was the result of inhumane police brutality." Correct. "That is perpetuated by a culture of white supremacy." Debatable.
Yeah.
Debatable. So, and then they had a big, I don't know, it was just like a written poster almost that said, "We must dismantle white supremacy." So it was a picture of just those words in addition to the caption. "We must dismantle white supremacy." Ben and Jerry's, folks, that's ice cream, okay? If you don't know, they sell ice cream, right. Okay? Let that sink. I know that this seems like normal now because we've been living in Wacky Town all year, but that's not normal. That's weird. They sell ice cream. Why are they being made to make open political statements like that? And it's because they're getting pressure. Mm-hmm. A lot of people felt weird because people are calling out other people saying silence is violence. And if you don't make a statement, you're part of the problem.
I'm sorry that
I sell ice. It's ice cream, folks. It's a tasty dessert
for everyone,
for everybody
in the world.
I think the only color they care about is green, to be honest with you.
And
you know?
That's a great thing about the free market. And I think that's why it could possibly solve the majority of these problems. Because that's all it cares about. It doesn't care who's buying ice cream. It just wants to sell ice cream.
Correct. So I see this and I laugh hysterically. And so I quote tweeted it and I said, in all caps, "I demand you put out a new flavor dismantling white supremacy, Ben and Jerry's. Perhaps," in quotes, "kill whitey, fuck you, police pigs. A vanilla-free mocha ice cream with chocolate chips, caramel swirl, brownie bites, and a hint of cinnamon." Maybe it was the hint of cinnamon that pushed them over. But that was one of the tweets I got in trouble for, which is funny because I'm pro-law enforcement.
Yeah.
Obviously, let me say this first because I feel like this may be construed differently. Obviously, what happened to George Floyd was disgusting. Mm-hmm. It was despicable. I've actually never seen more alignment with everybody. Everybody from AOC to Sean Hannity believes this man was murdered in cold blood. I think that that is a good thing that we can all look at this and go, that's disgusting. That's not what we're about. Now, obviously, what erupted, there's a lot of controversy and everything is politicized on the reaction, the riots, the looting, the protests. So obviously that's a huge issue of contention, but what actually happened and everybody's reaction to it was the same. Everybody reacted the same. That's disgusting. That's horrible. You know, I would probably get I'd get backlash for probably saying this on air, but I'm not on air anymore. How do we know that Derek Chauvin was even racist? You know, and people go, "Are you an idiot? It's a white cop and a black guy." I'm like, couldn't he just be an asshole cop? Mm-hmm. And he treated everybody like shit. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be a black guy. Could he be racist? Could be. If he was yelling the N-word when he was doing it, that would be some evidence. If he had a swastika tattooed on his chest, that'd be some evidence. He was married to an Asian chick. He was on duty with another white guy, an Asian guy, and a black guy. Was he racist? I don't know. You can't even ask that question because people will lose their fucking minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was one of the tweets that I got in trouble for. Now, I thought that was clever. I thought it was timely. The fuck you police pigs was actually tongue in cheek because obviously I think that this is ridiculous. You know,
it was so over the top,
right,
that you would think people would know that it's parody.
Yeah, and what's really funny is that a black guy responded to that tweet, and he goes, "I like vanilla ice cream," and I laughed so hard because he got it.
Yeah.
You know, he knew I was trying to make a joke, and if you listen to me on air and you follow me on social media, like, I'm just looking for laughs. Like, I don't think anything that I do is ever egregious or hateful. I can't control how people perceive things and take it, how they interpret it. But if you know me personally or even on air, you know that I'm just about being fair, you know, and I just want to get to the truth with everything. I have no bias. I've let go of any sort of ego in terms of I'm right. I've changed my mind on things multiple times. I don't think there's anything wrong. There's nothing shameful about, you know, people call you a flip-flopper. It's like, dude, I'm sorry I acquired more information and I changed my mind on something. I think that that's growth and evolution, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So that was the first one, and the one that wasn't as bad as the one that really, the nail in the coffin. It was right before we went on air on Wednesday. We saw that there was breaking news that George Floyd had coronavirus. Mm-hmm. It tested positive. So we were kind of discussing like how insane it would be if they tried to say that he in fact died of coronavirus, because as we remember from yesteryear, which it feels like, which was only a month ago, they were being very liberal about how they were counting coronavirus deaths.
Right.
So you could have coronavirus, get hit by a bus, and then it was like, oh, well, they died of coronavirus. Yeah. Let me add that to the count. Did you want
to say something? That's correct.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to myself, like, how insane would that be if they tried to pass this off as a coronavirus death? So I decided to take to Twitter. Wrong move. Take to Twitter, and I said, and I didn't screenshot this one, but I'll say it as I remember it. I said, if they try to pass off George Floyd's death as a coronavirus death, I'm going to loot myself. Mm-hmm. And not only did, now, you may be listening to this and be like, oh my God, super cringy, right? At the time, I thought it was timely. I was tying in two things that were going on, the riots and coronavirus, and tying it all in together with a nice bow. I think it was also the loot myself thing, because, you know, that's also a touchy subject. So, and not only that, I also added in a link to the article, which had his face on it, which wasn't helpful. So, about an hour after that is posted, I do get a text to call. This is during the show. Nobody wants to get a text from their boss, you know, during the show. So I talked to him on the phone in the middle of the show during a break. One of the most terrifying moments of my life.
I bet.
Yeah. I was sweating. And basically, he was not happy, I would say that. And rightfully so. And basically just said, you know, when you get in there, don't say anything about anything. And the show that you do after Johnny's show that, you know, I do with you, that's going to go in a replay. So I said, okay, yep. And I walk in, I tell the boys, I tell Will and Johnny what's going on. And they go, okay. And I had a feeling that there was going to be some sort of recourse. There was going to be some sort of action of discipline that was going to be taken. So I was taken off air on Thursday, same story for Friday. On Monday, same story. And then finally Wednesday morning, which was 2 days ago, I got the phone call. Now, I do want to add that the reason why, partially why they made this decision, obviously bad time for jokes. No one's in the mood to laugh, and I should have known that. It was a bad idea. Timely joke, not a good joke, right? Like I mentioned before, I don't think I have a hateful bone in my body. You know, I'm always just trying to, you know, make something satirical or a parody of something, you know, and sometimes it's at the wrong time, you know? Had I been black and written that, I don't think I would have got the same consequence. I wouldn't have been punished the same way. I don't know, I could be wrong. I'm definitely the wrong color to be making any sort of comment on that. Again, rightfully so. I understand how this works, you know what I mean? Not making excuses, not accusing anybody of racism. I don't play that game. I get they have to cover, you know, their hide, and they had to let me go. I should also mention, like I mentioned earlier, that this is not my first transgression. Had a situation, a little PR crisis last year that I actually survived, which mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to. Mm-hmm. we can go into that briefly, but long story short, Will and I and another friend went to a comedy show in Orlando. Andrew Schultz. I don't think he'll care if we'll say his name. He's one of the best out there. Definitely recommend checking out his stuff.
He's doing his own stuff. He doesn't, he doesn't work for a corporation.
He doesn't care. He's good to go. So basically what happened there is we were watching the show, and in the middle of the show, a woman had a seizure. And nobody knew what was going on. We just saw a commotion in the middle of the crowd. And they stopped the show, lights come on, the paramedics come. It was just a circus. It was crazy. So in the middle of the fiasco, like the headliner, Andrew Schultz, gets on stage and he starts cracking jokes about the EMTs, the paramedics mostly. He's making fun of them because the shirts are too tight, blah, blah, blah. And he's just bringing the crowd back because everybody, it's just chaos. People, no one gets up. There's no intermission in a comedy show. You know what I mean? So everybody's kind of like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of he was making jokes about how people had gotten babysitters for the night. And now they're like, oh, fuck. Like, now I have to pay my babysitter an extra hour. You know, it messed up everybody's night. And everybody kind of had, he could feel the vibe. Everybody's like, can this bitch fucking get it together. We want to get on with the show. Nevertheless, she leaves. The show goes on. Fantastic show. I've literally never seen been to a more interactive show. It was just wild. It was fun. And it was just crazy and very memorable. I mean, you could say, like, it felt like we were at a Siegfried and Roy, RIP, show. And it's like the tiger ate the guy and you were at the show, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. So my dumbass gets home at 2 a.m. and I take to Instagram and I'm like, the people gotta know, Will. The people gotta know that I was at the show. So I take to Instagram and I make this stupid video about how I was there. And I call the woman who had a seizure a bitch, but I didn't mean it like you're a bitch. I meant like this bitch, mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way I talk, my vernacular. And I said, she had a seizure. The show was great. You know, what else I say? Show was great. I said the show was off the chain. That was really the most egregious thing that I said. I really regret saying that the show was off the chain.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing. So the video is in circulation for almost a full 24 hours. And if you don't know how Instagram works, because you're a boomer, if you put something to Instagram story, it's there for 24 hours and then it disappears. So we were probably at like, I don't know, it was like the 22-hour, 23-hour mark. I get one message from one chick, and she goes, that's disgusting that you said the show was great because a woman had a seizure. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's not what I said.
Yeah, that's quite the conflation there.
That's not what I said at all. I said that a woman had a seizure, despite that happening and all that, the show was great. Mm-hmm. He brought everybody back. Do you know how hard it is to do comedy, like, just point blank, then add on to that, everybody's walking around, the lights are on, nobody's listening to you, everybody's talking to the people at their own table, asking and yelling, and he's bringing everybody back into, you know, this is bringing them back into the performance. So I was commending him. Not many people could do that successfully, and he pulled it off with flying colors. That's what I was saying. So one person turns it to, and part of the reason why I got so much trouble is I was clapping back really hard.
And I didn't really know that until I talked with our program director, because I brought that up as an example of how crazy that was and how blown out of proportion that was, because I knew what you meant by this bitch, but it seemed like they were intentionally naive of that. And I remember talking to one of the more reasonable women that had brigaded our Facebook page, and she got it. I explained it to her, and she got it. And in the end, she says, "Well, Anna should not have called her a bitch." And I go, "All right, well, I guess fair enough, but you're wrong. You know, you people are wrong for doing this. This is not what she meant." And I didn't really realize, I guess, how hard you went in.
I went really hard because they were coming at me, and the story was just, I mean, you guys are aware of the game of telephone and how the message gets distorted so quickly. I mean, it went from, you know, you said it was a great show because the woman had a seizure too. You were laughing at a woman mm-hmm. having a seizure and you didn't even help her. You were you were applauding the woman who was convulsing on the floor, laughing and pointing at her. Like, it was, I got death threats from Poland. That was weird. I want to put you in a body bag, a few people said to me. So it was, it just got really out of control. And within 12 hours of that, just that first person making a comment, 12 hours later, the Epilepsy Foundation of America was calling my boss and the whole company, the station, everybody, that and demanding I be fired, you know. So, I mean, that was crazy. And that lasted about a good 2 weeks. Like, it wasn't just a day.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
That was a wild time. Yeah. I was getting shrapnel from that whole thing.
Yeah. I was worried, you know. I thought about getting a gun. Like, I was real scared. Not gonna lie. I was scared, you know. People are crazy here. And you also have to understand, we live in Florida. So it's a wild card state. Love it here. But yeah, it is pretty crazy. So that whole thing happened back in 2019. I call that hurricane epilepsy. And the fallout from that was, I mean, I had to take sensitivity training courses. I had multiple meetings with HR. I was suspended for a week. I had to make a formal written apology, a formal apology on air. The Epilepsy Foundation of America, Florida, they got a lot of free advertisement. Say that. Yeah. They got a lot of, and this was all just to keep me around. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was insane, because I was like, why? I'm definitely not, I'm very aware of where I am on the totem pole, where I was on the totem pole. I'm not a moneymaker for that company or the station or anything like that. Very much aware, but I'd never felt more valued, to be honest with you, that they really, really fought for me. But yeah, I really screwed myself, because it wasn't just the video, which I want to talk about. It was my clapbacks on Twitter. It's really Twitter, man. Twitter keeps getting me in trouble.
Social media, yeah.
That'll do it. Yeah, definitely not worth it.
But I've even made tweets that were not, you know, because I have this thing where I have to reread it and look it over.
That's smart.
Make sure that, yeah, maybe people would have a problem with it, but they would just go, you're a dick, instead of, I want to kill you and I'm going to get you fired. So I'm okay with, you know, chatting and having disagreements, but I even went, you know what? It's not worth it. Most of these are just not worth putting up there. So.
No. And I wish I could say, Will, I wish I could say, like, oh, I'm some free speech martyr and I was spitting facts and people got angry at my fact. They were throwaway tweets. Yeah. Really were. You know what I mean? I wish that it was like, I was stating FBI statistics and people got angry with me because it didn't agree with their narrative. I really wish that that was why I got fired. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I made a horrible joke. Very untimely. If I would have said either joke on air, obviously without the F word, yeah, I think it would have been fine. I think I would have been like, if we find out, like, you know, Floyd had coronavirus and I said on air something like, man, if they try to pin this as like a coronavirus death, like, I'm going to loot myself. I think that would have been fine, because you could hear my tone. Clearly, I would be outraged if they tried to pin this as a COVID death, obviously. But listen, again, going back to my original message, the company made 100% the right decision. If I would, they have to look out for their own best interests, you know? Yep. I understand that. They got a product they got to push, they got advertisers they got to please, and, you know, they got money they got to make, and if I'm effing with that, I don't blame them. I would cut me too. So, now you know the whole story. I feel like this is good. I'm glad I got everything out there. I do really appreciate all the messages, the DMs I got. I do appreciate the support. I still feel bad that I let you, Will, and Johnny down, because we had a dynamic team. We had a dynamite team, you know. It was great.
It's really hard to replace that. Like, I was just saying in the intro of this, like, I have big shoes to fill, and it's not going to be easy. I really enjoyed working with you and Johnny, and I think we did have a really good team, and it's a bummer that's not an option, at least in that capacity anymore. I'm sure we'll do some stuff.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
I'm sure you'll be popping on this podcast from time to time.
Yeah, I want to be careful about your association with me, because I know that I am like, I'm an untouchable right now. Like, nobody, I'm kind of poison, I think. Yeah. So I want to be, and again, like any sort of business, radio is politics, you know, like literally any business.
Sure.
You got to pick sides. Sure. If you talk to this person, then you're going to piss off that person. It's just politics, personal, corporate politics. So I understand. And I want to be careful because, you know, I mean, as much as I enjoyed working with you and as much as I think you wanted me there, obviously, this is a good opportunity for you because there's less cooks in the kitchen now, obviously.
Yeah, way less.
Yes. Yeah. Way less cooks in the kitchen with people dropping off. So I'm excited for like new opportunities for you that anything that I would have gotten, you know, you're going to definitely get more shine now. So I'm excited for you there, but I mean that's pretty much it, folks. I don't know what else to tell you. what is next maybe is the question. It's to TBD, you know, to be determined. I'm figuring it out. I will be releasing this after I tell my father, because I haven't told him yet, because I am a huge pussy. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the worst birthday gift ever. yeah, his birthday was on Monday, and then I got fired on Wednesday. And my dad is my biggest supporter. You know, yeah. He loves this. I think I told you that I was scared the night that I got we couldn't do our show. The actual night it happened, we had to go into replay. I was like, I hope my dad's not listening. And sure enough, he calls me. The show is from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. My dad calls me at 12:08. And I think I was on the phone with you, Will. And I went, oh, yes, oh no. So I still haven't told my dad. So he definitely cannot find out on Facebook or anything like that. So I'll make sure that he knows. But folks, that's the story. You know, it's definitely not going to be the last time you hear from me. So don't worry about that.
Something will pop up. You know, I know it's got to be a scary feeling where you kind of feel like that you're rudderless. Now you're stuck in like doldrums, but you're very talented. You're very good at what you do.
Oh,
and
thanks.
This will just be the beginning. And I think we'll look back on this in a few years and go, ah, this was a blessing, you know, in disguise.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's like in a month or something, but yeah. You know, again, it's going to take time to kind of find my way. It's a little bit scary, but sometimes you need to get, you know, I mean, if we can be fully honest, we're not going to say any names or anything like that of the company or whatnot, but I felt like, I'll speak for myself, I'm not going to speak for you, but I felt a little stuck, you know, not the company's problem, you know, they got their money makers and their anchor personalities and shows, and I was not one of them, you know, and unless they got coronavirus got in the building or something, like we're not moving up. So, you know, the intention, and they always say this, that, you know, if you want to move up in radio, you got to move out. You know, I got evicted. You know, I didn't choose to leave. I want people to know that. I didn't quit. I didn't quit on you. I didn't quit on the team. I got fired. But yeah, that is the situation. But now it is forcing me to kind of consider other options that maybe I didn't before. I definitely want to start. I need to start podcasting. I mean, this energy's got to go somewhere. It feels weird. I haven't been in front of a mic in 2 weeks. So it is good to be back in some capacity. So I just want to let people know that this one will not be the last time you hear from me. I'll be popping up. And if you follow me on social media, at On a Homo Radio, you'll know exactly where
you're
that is.
Keep your accounts, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say anything about the company. It just says at On a Homo Radio.
Right. No, I'm just saying, cause if you get a new job, would you consider, cause I told you, just get rid of your accounts and either maybe do a private one for your friends or something. And
because you mean another media, corporate? Yeah,
it's a skill, and it's really hard to weave around and navigate, and you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, no, not at all. And you've said this a few times. You said that I'm the dumbest smart person you know, which is very true. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I'm a smart person, but I make a lot of dumb decisions.
Impulsive.
Yeah. But really, this is the only way that I get excited, you know, like, I don't know if, I mean, most people probably aren't on Twitter as much as I am because it's just, it's a hellhole, but it's a fun hellhole and I enjoy it. And it's a good place, not that I'm a stand-up comedian by any means, because I am not, but it's a good place to just try out jokes just for fun, you know, does it work? Does it stick? Sometimes I'll put one on Twitter. I'm like, that's going to be a home run. It'll get like 2 likes. And then I'll put one that's kind of like, and you'll get 50. So you never know. Yeah. So you just try stuff out just to see how the audience responds to it. And I also do want to add this one last thing before we go. The two tweets that I did make, the ones that got me fired, they got zero, zilch, heat on social media. Okay. I do want to say that because, you know, maybe you're like, did I miss something on social or people outraged? No, zero. Not one. Not one person DM'd me and said, can you take that down? Not one person said, retweeted and go and went, what the hell, blank, you know, company, what the hell are you doing here? None of that. No advertisers were reaching out to me going, this is disgusting. You're a despicable human being. Nothing happened at all. All I was told was that there were some emails that were sent to the higher ups, and that is why that's how they were notified of it. I'm certain that both of my bosses, who have small children, were not looking at my Twitter. Both of whom I don't think follow me at 11 p.m. at night on a Wednesday. I don't think that that's what they were doing. I don't think that is what they wanted to do. So if either one of them is listening, sorry about that. Didn't mean to wake you from slumber or take you away from your families. That's never my intention. But yeah, do have some, I do believe that it was possibly, an inside job like 9/11. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I don't want to get fired again. Just kidding. I already lost everything. So I'm pretty sure it was someone that alerted the bosses was someone that I worked with ? I'm pretty sure I know who it is. Pretty sure. I got no hate for that person. I think of it as like a boxing match. I left myself open. I left the pocket open. I got punched in the face. It was my fault. I should have had my guard up. But, was it kind of dirty? Yeah, I know who you are. But listen, I got nothing but love. You know, I'm definitely not an angry person. I refuse to be consumed by anger. I don't think that helps anybody, including myself. And again, like, if I believe that it was my fault and I take accountability, then I know that I can fix it. Well, not here because I'm fired, but in terms of in the future, I don't believe the world is out to get me. This was my fuck up and I screwed up. Was it kind of dirty that someone snitched on me? I think if someone was really offended, I don't know because I don't think I've ever really been offended by something that someone said on Twitter that wasn't personal. But if someone was truly offended or wanted to amend my behavior, I think they would have reached out to me personally. I think they would have said, because that's what happened last time with the epilepsy thing. People were like, what the F? You know, this is disgusting. You're just, you know, people take to Twitter or social media. They tell you how they feel. Mm-hmm. So for someone to go behind my back was kind of a dirty move, in my opinion. But again, it was my fault. I posted it. I left myself wide open to get punched in the face, and I got punched in the face, and I got nobody to blame but me. And that's the tea, Will. That's the tea. Do you want to plug something that's not your butt? Because I do want to say that because a few people have reached out to me and they said that they miss hearing that.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard that too. Well, I'm already on it, so I guess not. I just, this sucks, and I'm so sorry this happened. It's not the same. I've been stressed out all week, and it has nothing to do with me. You know,
it affects you though.
It definitely does, and it's been really sad, and it sucks. But you know, this is the business, and hopefully I will learn from your issues and try to
help both of them
navigate the best way I can. It's tough though. I feel like just in this culture that we have, like, it's only a matter of time. You're just gonna say something that somebody's gonna have a problem with, and they'll just be like, that's it. We're just gonna cut bait. And you know, it stinks. And I don't know, I hope that's not the case. And I think I definitely have, I'm just not gonna tweet so much anymore. I'm not going to try to be funny anymore on Twitter, which stinks.
Your tweets are almost too highbrow for anyone to get upset.
Yeah.
I feel like I notice you do that. You'll use some lingo or just the way that you construct this sentence. Like, I'll have to read it twice, maybe three times. I'm like, what does he mean by that? And I go, oh, that's what he's talking about. And if I'm doing that, then I know that 99% of everybody else is totally lost and confused. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own critiques of our society, and they don't fall in line with pop culture. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, same.
And, you know, now it's like if you don't, you know, put the black square up on your Instagram, you're a heathen, and you need to be purged. And, you know, I just, I don't, I don't like that mob mentality. I'm an individualist. I don't participate in that sort of stuff. And that's probably going to get me in trouble at some point down
the line. Silence is violence, Will.
Yeah, I know.
You got to come out and say that killing black people is wrong, obviously.
Yeah right.
Obviously.
Which it is.
Of course, but the fact that you have to like come out and say it, and I'll just come out and say it now, it's like when I saw the black squares, it was just a bunch, not all, but a lot of just white people going, I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah.
I'm one of the good ones. And then, God forbid, you know, you're talking to someone and they're like, well, you have to prove you're not a racist. And a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but when you say something, and I know that this is the one that people take to all the time, they go, well, I have black friends. Yeah. And then you're on your heels because people, you know, go in on you. But to be honest with you, Will, I think that that's a really good defense for not being a racist.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, with the black squares thing, too, it was actually screwing up some of the protests because it was algorithming those posts out about where protests were. And
all
stuff.
The information,
so they ended up because they're using the hashtag, and then it screws everything up. And it was very much the... did you see the ribbon episode of Seinfeld where Kramer wouldn't wear the ribbon, the AIDS ribbon?
I don't remember that.
Oh, you got to see it. Because that's
I've probably
what happened.
Seen it. I just don't remember.
And he refused. He just didn't want to wear the... He was doing the AIDS walk, but didn't want to wear
the
ribbon.
Okay.
And he got mobbed with... I got to send you the scene.
It's same thing.
But it was very similar to that to me. And that's why I was just like, this is just so weird.
How
comedy is just real life.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they were predicting the future. And, you know, I see people getting bullied into... And Andrew Schultz, one of the guy we saw, the epilepsy thing, had a great bit about, you know... And he was speaking directly to white people, but it could have been just anybody that posted it. Like, you literally couldn't have done less. You took a picture of nothing, you know? And he goes, I'm not going to do the bit because he obviously does it much better, but... It really was a useless move. It took almost zero effort. And I know that many people who are going to listen to this took part in it. I don't think you're a bad person. I think that you just felt pressure from everybody else. And Will, I feel like I can speak for him when I say like, I don't like to be a bandwagon anything. Like that scares me. Cause why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you really feel for the cause, or are you worried that, you know, someone is going to call you out for
signaling.
You're a racist because you didn't post a black square, you know? And then it's like, well, how are we going to call out about how are we going to grow? Why don't you just be nice to your fucking neighbor? Like, let's start there. Like someone asked me, well, how are we going to dismantle racism? How about we just be nice? And I know like that's easier said than done. Listen, people who are racist are going to be racist. Like you're literally just preaching to the crowd. We're not racist. I know, right? We'll stay that way. Okay, great. Like that's what it was.
Well, and that's the thing. And nobody really wants to tackle these issues because they're very nuanced. They're complicated. It would take a lot of sitting down, a lot of studying, a lot of conversating, and a lot of listening that I don't think either side of that issue wants to do, mainly the listening, because nobody's right and nobody's wrong. It's a spectrum, and there's some truth and some hyperbole and some outright false statements. And to really get to the root of them, we would have to talk to each other, and nobody's willing to do that. Now everyone's caught in their social media bubble. So instead, they'll signal that they are one of the good ones, put it up there, complain about everybody else that doesn't do it, and tear down symbols of these things, which you're seeing with the statues and all this stuff. It's not, it's more symbology, I think, for them than actual tackling the issues. So it's not really going to do anything in the long run. But so I just want to stay out of everything. I don't want to, and I know that's some people would say that's terrible. Okay, fine. That's terrible. I'm just going to sit on the fence. And
you not being an asshole to black people or people of color is not enough, Will. You have to post black
square.
It's going
to have to be enough. Or freedom of association. Feel free not to associate with me if that's not. But I'm up against the clock here. But Anna, thank you for coming in. Find her on social media and on Homo Radio.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah. There you go. Bummer, man. Check her out at on Homo Radio. I'm sure she'll be back here. Doing maybe this podcast more often, and I think she'll be just fine. This podcast has been brought to you by True V Salon and Spa, TRUV as in Victory, Y Salon and Spa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Be sure to go see them. True V Salon on Instagram. Get a haircut. You're disheveled, you're quarantined, you're fat, and your hair sucks. So get it fixed up. Quick thing you can do. And with that, I'm going to go. I'm way over. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete at Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thank you so much. Please subscribe to it. HMB Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Talk to you soon. Please don't cancel me. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.